You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Summer in Wisconsin is typically filled with fun, tasty, and musical events, but the COVID-19 pandemic has caused many of them to be canceled or at least delayed. But there are still plenty of outdoor activities across the state to enjoy. We'll highlight a few and welcome your suggestions coming up. Now, making change, any kind of change in our own lives, often comes with some discomfort, some fear, and a lot of work. Our next guest says it's no different when it comes to combating racism. By now, terms like white privilege or white fragility have become buzzwords for many in our society, but our guest says we don't always think deeply about what they mean or how they apply to us. Layla Saad is an author, anti-racism educator, international speaker, and podcast host on topics of race, identity, leadership, personal transformation, and social change. Her new New York Times bestselling book, set up as 28 days of reading with some journaling prompts, is called Me and White Supremacy, How to Combat Racism, Change the World, and Become a Good Ancestor. Layla, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you for having me, Rob.
Well, can you tell us who you started this program and then wrote this book for? Who's the audience you have in mind?
Yeah, so I was speaking to people who, I guess, self-identify as liberal or progressive, definitely people who identified as not racist, colorblind, believe, we're all one race, the human race, and did not see themselves as complicit within white supremacy and racism. That's actually who I wrote the book for.
And you come back to this in the book a couple times, though that audience might think racism is a problem, sure, but it's those other people, those really overt racists I see on TV and rallies and things like that. What is your message for them that this is about them too?
Yeah, so those people, the audience that I'm writing to, were raised to believe that the way to solve racism is to not see color and to try your best not to treat people of other races differently to you. And while that's a very sort of honorable intention, what it ignores is that white supremacy and racism isn't just consciously chosen acts of racism. It's not about, I'm proud to be a racist, I don't like people of other races. It's not just that racism and white supremacy specifically is this entire system, institution, history, as well as consciousness that all of us are conditioned into. And so none of us are free of it. None of us are free of the conditioning of white supremacy. And by that, I mean also people who are not white are not free of that conditioning. We just get conditioned in different ways. For people who are white or who look white, the conditioning is you are superior to people of other races. And for those of us who are not white, it's the opposite. It's you're inferior to white people. And then the systems that exist in the institutions reinforce that message by how those two different groups are treated. And so it's not enough to say, I consciously choose not to be racist, because there's this analogy that I haven't come up with, I've seen it used, but this analogy that racism is not the shark, it's the water. It's the water that we're swimming in. And so this work that I do is about helping people to see the water.
You give this day-by-day plan, and you emphasize that this is going to be uncomfortable for most people, probably anybody who takes this step by step. And you try to make the point that discomfort is okay. It's part of what you're looking for. Why is that?
It's necessary, because without discomfort, what it says is that you're engaging in the examination of your unconscious racist thoughts and beliefs in a purely intellectual way. You're purely looking at it as theory or idea or sort of a mental exercise, when racism, being on the receiving end of racism, is a very visceral, emotional, psychological, and physical experience. And so in order to do the work of anti-racism, you actually have to engage with it at the level at which it's felt. Because if you're still staying just in your mind, not connecting to your heart, not connecting to your body, then you still haven't recognized that racism actually is violent. It does kill people and marginalizes people, and that there is there is a part that which you play in which you are complicit in this system which has caused so much violence. And so the wanting not to kind of feel it is almost like a defense mechanism to not have to feel those feelings, to not have to face that truth. But you have to face that truth in order to be able to understand how to practice anti-racism.
You give a day-by-day plan of kind of confronting a variety of different concepts. I want to touch on a couple of those, and one of them is the idea of white silence. Can you tell us what that is and how people can try to overcome that?
Well, right now we're seeing the opposite of white silence, right? Because we're in a time, finally, when collectively a very large population of white people are actually speaking up in solidarity with Black Lives Matter and in solidarity against racism. And so white silence for all of these years has been part of white supremacy, because while you may not have, you know, used a racial slur or attacked somebody vocally with your, you know, with your words racially, your silence has said, I don't condemn what's happening. Your silence isn't neutral. There is no middle space when we're talking about racism and the violence of white supremacy. You have to say what it is, where it is that you stand. And right now we're seeing businesses and brands and organizations sharing with their audiences and with their clients and customers what their statement is in this moment that we're in. They're sharing a Black Lives Matter statement, or they're making it very clear to their audience, this is where we stand on this. That has never happened before. Never, never happened before. White silence has been the norm, and it's not the norm anymore.
Yeah, you wrote this book before, obviously, the last couple weeks happened, and we saw these protests spread from Minneapolis and all over the world. Do you feel like this is potentially a significant turning point?
This is, I think it's really important not to undervalue and underestimate how important this time that we're in right now, because we've never seen it before. Not like this. For many of us, we weren't alive during the civil rights movement. And so we have never lived this at this scale in our lifetime. So it's really important not to undervalue and underestimate this moment. But I will also attach to that, that it's not just about the moment. It's about how do things change significantly, systemically, institutionally, as well as relationally, right, and socially. How are things going to change from now on? And that's really up to white people. That's really up to people who have white privilege, because no Black person or person of color, Indigenous person, created the system. We don't benefit from white supremacy, and we don't collectively have the power to be able to dismantle it. It is white people, people who have white privilege, who have that power. So it really falls on white people to be questioning themselves and saying, what is my responsibility? What is my role right now in this new world? And how can I ensure that the momentum doesn't die down a few weeks from now? How can I make sure that George Floyd's death, the death of so many Black people, the emotional labor of so many Black people, is not wasted because we returned to a sense of apathy and comfort and ease?
That longer view you're talking about takes me back to the idea, actually it's in the title of your book and throughout the book, the idea of becoming a good ancestor, something you want to do for yourself and are trying to encourage others to do. Talk about what we learn when we try to think of things in that way, being a good ancestor.
Well, we have the world that we have right now and not the world that was before, where it was the norm. Segregation was the norm. Apartheid was the norm. Racism, racial discrimination at a legal level was the norm. We have this world that we're in right now because of the ancestors who came before us, the sacrifices they made, the work that they did. We have this world now. And we have to remember that we will become ancestors too. So those who come after us deserve a better world than the world we have now too. And so that really drives my work, because doing the work of educating white people about white supremacy is very challenging work. It's very exhausting work. it's not very safe work either, because you are putting yourself in the spotlight to be on the receiving end of racism. So it's hard, and there has to be, for me, something bigger than me, but something bigger than my own fears and bigger than my own, you know, what could happen to me, that would continue to drive me to show up every day. And what I'm asking and inviting white people to consider is, what if you are the ancestor who changes the lineage for your family and for your community? What if you said, the buck stops with me, that we will no longer have the world that we had before because of choices I've made in my lifetime? And so I really want that to be a calling to everybody.
Layla, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
That was Layla Saad. Her new book is called Me and White Supremacy: How to Combat Racism, Change the World, and Become a Good Ancestor. Coming up, we'll find out how one class of high school seniors felt about graduating during the COVID-19 pandemic. That's coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Right now, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCollum with a story about graduating during quarantine.
Many of Wisconsin's high school seniors have now graduated, capping off one of the strangest ends to a school year. The coronavirus pandemic led to the cancellation of in-person graduation ceremonies. Many of these rites of passage were moved online or postponed. That was no exception for seniors at MG21 High School in Monona, who held their graduation last week via Zoom. I talked with a few of the students who filled me in on what it was like to end their high school years online.
It feels great, but it's sad, I guess, for, like, the quarantine.
And it's kind of hard because all that kind of community building is kind of gone. We're just kind of, like, fending for ourselves.
Hi, I'm Matt Schlafer from MG21, and I am a musician.
I am Dante Murray from MG21. I am in the graduating senior class. I don't know. It's not the greatest.
I feel like it's just like a lack of motivation to do anything.
I'm Harrison Farnham from MG21, and I'm part of graduating class of 2020.
I wake up for about 4 hours each day, and then I go back to sleep. And in that 4 hours, I normally take a bike ride or go on a walk.
Hi, I'm Sierra Reeder. I'm a senior at MG21. I thought I didn't care. Like, my senior year, I was like, screw graduation. Like, I'm not going, like, whatever. And now I'm like, damn, this is like a really important milestone that I never valued until coming up, you know?
I think that if you're not like the parent of a senior or like the teacher, it's hard to like understand why this is so hard for us right now. And like, it might seem like a really small thing, like, oh, they don't get to graduate together. Hi, I'm Tira Bird, and I'm a senior at MG21. We've spent, like, almost half of our lives in school. And, like, this was the moment that we were all waiting for and thinking of something for so many years and then getting down to it, and it's just, like, not what you expect, like, at all, is going to be hard for anybody.
The MG21 seniors say there were specific things that they missed out on while ending the school year from home.
I was going to teach a class on writing to the middle schoolers. I was really looking forward to doing that.
I mean, I was hoping to go to prom.
I danced in my basement by myself.
I'm definitely missing out on all the just seeing people, hanging out with my friends, and hanging out with the school.
Just like all the friends that I've made this year that I thought like I was never going to be friends with, but now it's just like, I don't know, might not ever see them again or like see them every once in a while.
I watched my older brother graduate, and like that was cool, and I was like, dope, like I'm going to get to do that. And now I'm like, it's a Zoom, like I'm not with my friends, I'm not walking across the stage, I'm not shaking people's hands, I'm still like, I'm going to have my diploma, but it's not the same.
The MG21 seniors recognize that they're graduating during an historic moment. Keep in mind, most of these students were born right around 9/11, so this is one of their first shared traumatic before and after experiences.
I can't think of any other time, or my parents or my grandparents even can't think of any other time when the entire country's senior population didn't get to graduate normally.
You know, being a senior, during this time. It's kind of weird, but I think it's going to be nice in the future when I can sit around with my future kids maybe and be like, this happened.
No, you can't skip school because you have a cold. I had to go through a pandemic.
Yeah. Something like that.
Everybody is going through the same thing right now. Like, even if some people are having a harder time than others. And I'm here to support anybody that needs support.
Despite the challenges, the MG21 seniors have been doing things outside of school to keep their spirits up.
Yeah, I've been kind of occupied creatively. Now that I've started getting back on the horse, it feels better to write and play music.
Outside of the working at the grocery store, I play a lot of games with my friends, playing a lot of League of Legends.
I mean, like I said, I've been going on walks and I've been playing through a game called Halo on a game mode called Lasso.
I go to like Governor's Island almost every day just to like sit and go by the water.
I try to go for a lot of walks. And it's hard.
I think like me and my mom have grown closer over this 2 month time period because we're both not working. And like, I don't know, if you're with a person all the time, you don't want to get on that person's bad side at all, because then it's just going to be like a tough 2 months for all of us.
The students at MG21 have a special relationship with the high school's teachers. The seniors had messages for them.
Just that they're doing a really good job of making us feel good and like making us not sad about this whole situation. I know that some of the teachers at MG21 have been like dropping off little gifts. Like the first week was like a cupcake. The second week was like a plant with like this really cool meaning behind it. They're trying like really hard and it's working. It's really working.
They are extremely nice. They've done so much for me. Even now through all this stuff, it means so much to me that they're working their hardest like they always are. They're trying to make this the best of the worst situation.
You know, I'm really grateful that they're, you know, not just giving up and be like, all right, that's the end of, you know, the year. That they're actually trying.
I guess it's just a big thank you because they made me the person I am today.
I'm going to miss you guys. I'm going to really miss the teachers. You guys taught me so much and have been with me every step of the way. Thank y'all for being my peers and my classmates, as well as really good friends of mine. We've always been resilient, so I feel like we'll find a way to make things better.
Those were the voices of high school seniors from MG21 in Monona, Wisconsin. Congratulations on your graduation and to all of you in the class of 2020. Each of these students was featured on the Wisconsin Life documentary, Classroom Frequency, which aired last year and features the students' own stories. You can find that program at wisconsinlife.org. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook. I'm Maureen McCollum.
Now Maureen joins us live to talk more about getting to know the MG21 students and their graduation experience. Maureen, thanks a lot for sharing that with us and thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Rob.
Well, you did that Classroom Frequency project with the same group last year. That's airing again soon. We found out that, as we heard there, students were musicians and writers and collectors. Did the pandemic seem to put a damper on those hobbies, too?
I mean, a little bit. So Matt Schlafer, who you heard from, if you listen to the Classroom Frequency documentary, you'll hear him talk about creating music, especially with another musician at the school. When we talked a couple weeks ago, he said that, you know, through the pandemic, he wasn't really feeling creative or really driven to write any music. And that sort of turned around for him in these last few weeks. And this is something I've heard from a lot of different musicians, that they're just like, I thought I'd be creative during this time, and I'm not at all. There's another student, Harrison Farnham. He is a huge military history buff, and he likes to collect militaria. He has two packages held up One's in Germany, one's in Albania, and he can't get them because their post offices are closed down. So that's a major bummer for him.
We heard the love for the teachers from the students in your piece toward the end there. Do we know how the teachers felt about having to end this year in such a weird, remote way?
I think the teachers were just as sad as the students. MG21 is a small public charter school, and everyone at that school knows each other really well. And the teachers, you know, like most teachers everywhere, they work really, really hard to see their students succeed. And then it's this lackluster ending of a school year. And that's super tough. But the teachers stayed connected with the students online just through the regular classes and just being there if the students needed to talk with them. You heard in the story, they dropped off gifts like little treats and plants. So they made sure that they stayed connected with these seniors. And like the seniors really appreciated it. They found these little, just these tiny little gestures really meaningful.
Yeah, it seems like this, as at the end to your high school career, could be really anticlimactic. This thing you've been working toward for, you know, 12 years, and it kind of fizzles out. Did they find ways, and we heard some of them there, find ways to make it feel significant, even though they weren't actually in the building for the last few months of it?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, like a lot of classes, they were able to do their Zoom meetings. So when they had their graduation last week, each of the seniors gave their graduation speech. Now, sure, it was different doing it via Zoom than doing it in person. And I also heard that one of the students organized like an unofficial, socially distant graduation party. So there is a picture of them all like spread out on this bridge by some water. On our Wisconsin Life website. So like they're able to come together and, you know, and I'm sure they're all going to stay connected. And we've even talked about having like a radio reunion someday when it's safe once again, just to get all these students back together. Because I miss them too.
Maureen, thank you so much for checking in with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Rob. Appreciate it.
That's Wisconsin Life producer Maureen McCollum with us to talk about how high school seniors in Monona felt about graduating during a pandemic. The Classroom Frequency Special featuring those MG21 students is re-airing Monday at 7 on our News and Classical Network. You can check it out anytime at wisconsinlife.org. Coming up, we'll check out some fun stuff to see and do across Wisconsin this summer and how to do them safely during the coronavirus pandemic. I'm Rob Ferret. This is Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up tomorrow at 7 on The Morning Show, get the latest on COVID-19 in Wisconsin with the state's top infectious disease official. That's tomorrow morning at 7 here on the Ideas Network. Now, in a normal year, we'd be enjoying Milwaukee Brewers baseball, some breakfasts on the farm, and looking forward to Summerfest and 4th of July celebrations. We might be taking a dip in the pool, soaking up the sun on a crowded beach, or visiting our favorite amusement park. But 2020 had other plans. The coronavirus has effectively canceled or at least delayed many events and activities across the summer. Well, that's a bummer. It's not like there's nothing to do in Wisconsin this summer. Parks are open. You can head out onto the water. You can golf. And some tourist attractions are still open for business. Just be sure to do it safely. Gary Knowles is a Madison-based travel writer and president of the Midwest Travel Journalists Association. He's also the author of the great Wisconsin touring book, 30 Spectacular Auto Tours. Gary, welcome back. Good to talk to you again.
It's great to be with you again, Rob. And, you know, we've got rain here today in Madison, but it isn't going to dampen our spirits a bit. There's a lot of stuff to do out there.
Well, and this is, you know, it's a mixed blessing here. Of course, a lot of things are shut down, and that's a bummer. But we have a really good excuse to try to find stuff close to home in our backyard, since a lot of us don't want to, you know, go on a plane or take a big, long vacation. We've got a lot of incentive to find stuff to do in the area, don't we, Gary?
That's right. Wisconsin is really, if you were going to build a place and make it ideal for a place where you owned a car and could go out and do an afternoon drive or maybe a weekend drive or even spend the whole week driving, this state has got it all. And we're based here in Madison. Of course, we take a look out and know that we're about an hour, well, actually less than an hour, away from a great place like Mineral Point. And if you take some of the back roads to get down there, and, you know, you might want to head down through down through Verona and go down, maybe even cut over to New Glarus and go through the whole hilly part, the driftless area between there and Mineral Point. Mineral Point itself, once you get there, is kind of an artist colony. It was one of the first real artist colony kind of developed in Wisconsin. And even though, like, we need to say this for every place, no matter where we're talking about today, check before you go and make sure they're open, because as we all know, things are still in flux. But there are great places to go. Mineral Point is loaded with artists and galleries, and if you maintain your social distance, they're open somewhat, and you can get down there sometimes and find some really good things to do. So, you know, it's a good example of you're not far away from some real fun.
Yeah, and I think that point is worth emphasizing. Do that homework, call ahead, or check the website, or whatever the case may be, before you hit the road and, you know, maybe face heartbreak at the other side of it.
Yeah, that really is true. And, you know, you have to just Google the place you're going to, you know, you're hoping to go to, and you can find some places that are really kind of neat. One of the things that I found out actually just today is that if you go over to Spring Green, over to the Frank Lloyd Wright Visitor Center over there, they have a neat walking trail that you can do, and it's called the Welsh Trail. It runs for about a mile, and it takes off from right at the Frank Lloyd Wright Visitor Center at Spring Green, and you can do that walk. But the nice thing is they have a restaurant there, too, and the restaurant will do a meal for you if you want it, and you can pick it up and take it out. They have picnic tables available out there. You're not going to be eating outside today, but if you're out there on a nice sunny day, it is beautiful. The spectacular views of the Wisconsin River, or of Taliesin itself, or the visitor center are yours to enjoy with your meal, and it's a good place to go. And I, you know, the other thing I want to say, Rob, is that, you know, these places that we're talking about, as we discuss, are changing and hours are changing. But the thing to keep in mind is hopefully they're changing to be open more and to be open for your enjoyment through the rest of this year and hopefully into autumn, when I'm hoping that a lot of these restrictions will be pulled away.
Talking to Wisconsin travel expert Gary Knowles about things to do to enjoy our summer safely here in Wisconsin. Now, something I've done, Gary, and me and my family, we have been checking out, you know, not just the big state parks, but county parks and walking trails and even city parks and things like that, and finding some great gems that nobody seems to know about. You sent us a note with some great walks, including the Green Bay Packers Heritage Trail. And a walking tour is great. You can do that. You can keep your distance from people and still have fun.
That's really true. And that Green Bay Packer Heritage Trail is something that I did a couple of years ago. And I've asked other Packer fans who've been up there, and it seems everybody heads right for Lambeau, which is a great place to go. They've got that place really all decked out. But there is this walking trail that goes right through downtown Green Bay. And a lot of the important sites in terms of Packer history are right down there. And one of the neat things they have is they have a little plaza where there are, I want to say, five or six life-size statues of famous Packers. Nonetheless, then, of course, Paul Hornung is there, and Bart Starr is, of course, there. But also, you can find Johnny Blood there, and some really good ones. And other places that are on that walking tour are like Curly Lambeau's birthplace, the Old City Stadium, the Catholic Church, where Vince Lombardi was reported to have, he'd go to church every Sunday before the game, and as I understand it, the priest would pray for a Packer victory, and it must have worked. They did really well. And also the birthplace of the Packers, which, if you can believe it, was a newspaper office, the Green Bay Press Gazette building. So if you want to do that walk, it's really fun, and I've sent you folks a list, and I think you've got it there. But on the list, I've got some links that you can use if you want to go to the main sites for these things and download a map of the trail.
Yeah, and that's the Packers Hall of Fame and Tours website. People can find that. And I should throw this to our listeners, too. Do you have a favorite local thing that you've been enjoying, you know, when you can't maybe do the normal touristy stuff that you like to do, someplace where you can get and keep that social distance? Have you discovered cool new stuff, new to you anyway, in your own backyard? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or if you need a recommendation, I can almost promise Gary could help you out no matter where you are in the state. Now, here's something we could do online, Gary, that you sent along, a contest for the best small towns in the USA. So that's a way to support our Wisconsin communities. What's going on there?
Yeah, well, you can vote for at least a couple of Wisconsin communities. USA Today, the newspaper, is running this Best Small Towns poll, and they've got, I think it's six or seven categories that range from shopping or the best food scene, best cultural scene, best historic town. And in their category, the best coastal town, Bayfield is right in the running. And as I recall, I saw a note from them this morning that they're just a hair out of first place and number two. So if you want to vote for the hometown favorite, you can go vote for Bayfield for the best coastal town. And then also, just down to the south a little bit, another of our major attractions, of course, is Lake Geneva. And Lake Geneva is in the running for the best small town for adventure. And it's a great place to go visit, of course. And I've got to highly recommend that because the drives down there are really cool, too. So want to try out both of those. And the list is on the information I sent, and it's at www.10best.com/awards/travel, best small town. I know that's hard to remember, but I'll give you guys the link for the list.
Yeah, we'll get some of that posted online. You'll be able to find it at wpr.org/central time. Let's talk state parks a little bit, Gary. You know, I know that some of the big ones, Devil's Lake, is going to get crowded pretty quick on a nice day. Could be a good time to check out maybe some of the ones off the beaten path. They're open. Not all the, you know, a lot of the concessions, some of the amenities might not be open. What are some, you know, hidden gems in our state park system, or maybe not hidden, but ones that aren't the marquee names?
Yeah, one that I really love that is, it's not real well hidden, but it's down there at Prairie du Chien. Or just near Prairie du Chien, is Wyalusing State Park. And it is a beauty, and it's great.
They
do have some limited camping facilities available there, but it overlooks the confluence of the Wisconsin and the Mississippi River, and it's just a gem of a site there. So definitely, if you've never been to Wyalusing, they also have some great hiking trails, and you can easily social distance and keep your distance from other hikers that you may run into there. But then if you're going to go there, you might also want to go down south, not very far, maybe a 45-minute drive or so, head down to Nelson Dewey State Park. That's another one that's got a really great view from it, and I would venture to say it's much more of a hidden gem than even good old Wyalusing is. So I would try either of those down in southwest Wisconsin. Fantastic Wisconsin River and Mississippi River territory. And then, you know, I know we've got some listeners over in Iowa, so we don't want to forget that if you want to go over to Iowa, go across the bridge and cross that river. You don't need a passport. You can just go right over there. But go over to Iowa and at Pikes Peak Park, it's almost like the counterpart to Wyalusing State Park. From Pikes Peak, you can look back across the Mississippi River, and actually, if you've got binoculars, you can almost see Wyalusing State Park over there. But it is another nice park. The folks in Iowa do a nice job with it, and there is camping available there, too, I believe.
We're talking about how to have fun in the sun or whatever the weather might be across Wisconsin this summer. State travel expert Gary Knowles is with us. He's president of the Midwest Travel Journalists Association. He's the author of the great Wisconsin touring book, 30 Spectacular Auto Tours. He knows everything. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What kind of outdoor activities are you looking forward to doing or have you been doing already? Do you have a favorite body of water, a park, golf course, favorite drive to take in Wisconsin? Or do you need some ideas and inspiration from Gary on where to go, what to do, maybe especially if your favorite summer event has been canceled? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking about how to have fun in Wisconsin this summer, given the long list of festivities that have been canceled because of COVID-19. Gary Knowles is our guest, Madison-based travel writer, president of the Midwest Travel Journalists Association. He's written the book, The Great Wisconsin Touring Book, 30 Spectacular Auto Tours. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Which summer event or activity were you most looking forward to? What are you planning on doing instead? Do you get out on the water one way or another? Golfing, hiking, going for a drive? Do you need ideas? Are you involved with an event where you're getting creative on a different way to do it? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll go to your calls now. Charlotte is with us in Evansville. Charlotte, hi. Charlotte, are you there? Okay. I'll pass along her question. We've got it written up here. Charlotte says, we have two kids, 5 and 3, wondering if there are any good places to kayak with kids. Gary, any suggestions?
My best suggestion is to learn how to kayak and do it well. I would go all the way up to the Apostle Islands, and I know that they're doing some classes up there again. The point in doing that is you're going to get the best training you can get out there on Lake Superior, and you can get some good, just if you want to just splash around, there are places kind of in central Wisconsin, and I would try the Dells. I know there are some places up there where you can get the experience of kayaking. But, pretty soon you're going to want to really be an experienced, good kayaker, and ultimately you're going to want to hit Lake Superior. So I would go right up to Bayfield. There's a couple of great kayak schools that are up in that area, and they will do a good job in teaching you how to do it, and especially your younger kids, too. They will be really good with them.
Sounds good. I hope that helps our caller. Sorry, not sure why we didn't hear you there at 800-642-1234. Hey, let's talk driving tours a little bit. Gary, you touched on one a little earlier. What are a couple other great routes we can go on? And then again, we can keep our distance for people and hopefully keep our distance while we drive, too.
Yeah, sure. One place that people always think about, of course, when they're thinking travel in Wisconsin is Door County, and it's a natural. It's everybody knows about Door County being a great place, but one of the neat drives in Door County, actually there's a couple. One that we'll mention first is if you start at Sturgeon Bay, which is a wonderful, hardly well-known city in Wisconsin, but, spend some time in Sturgeon Bay, but then go up the shoreline, up the west shoreline, and County Highway B and County Highway G kind of connect you all the way up along the lake from Sturgeon Bay. It's a beautiful drive up to Egg Harbor, and it's really neat any time of the year. Or you can go backwards from Egg Harbor, G and B, go on down to Sturgeon Bay. And the thing about it is, people are used to Door County getting pretty crowded in summer, as it does. And this year they've sort of limited the number of people coming up there by just asking people to hold off until some of this stuff goes away. Now, the Door County places are beginning to open up. The restaurants are beginning to open up. So if you head up there now, I think you'll find that the driving situation is really good, and it's a good time to be up there. Then let me say, too, that when you're in Door County, the Highway 42 drive that takes you all the way up to Gill's Rock is a beautiful drive. You're going to want to stop probably in Fish Creek or stop in Sister Bay or one of the other great little towns up there. But when you get up to Gill's Rock, probably the most beautiful little curvy driving road in the state is up there. And it takes you from Gill's Rock out to the shoreline where the Washington Island Ferry comes in. And we'll take you over to Washington Island if you want to do that. But the road was designed. People drive it, and they say, oh, this is a curvy little road. The guy must have been drinking that made it. But it's great because I'm sure you've seen a picture of it, and in fall it's just spectacular. But it's a curvy little kind of a feng shui drive, goes maybe a couple of miles, that goes down to that ferry landing. And it was designed by Jen Jensens, who was a famous landscape architect who believed that by designing the environment that people are in, you could affect their mood, and this would make you happy. I don't know anybody that's ever driven that great little road that doesn't say, wow, was that neat, and they turn around and go do it again. And so if you get up there, it's right, I believe it's called Highway 42T, because I think it terminates at the ferry landing there. Uh-huh. But it is a great little drive, and I promise you're going to love it.
Let's go back to our callers now. Kelly is with us in Paoli. Kelly, hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What do you want to tell us about, Kelly?
Well, I just wanted to mention that I do own actually a canoe and kayak rental service. One of your callers was asking where a good place to go would be, but the comment is really, out of my four seasons, this has been the absolute busiest with the most families and with an unbelievable number of kids doing it for the first time and just having a great time doing it. And it's just a lot of fun to see that happening.
Fantastic, Kelly. Thanks for sharing that. So some firsthand reporting there, Gary. People are getting out on the water as families.
That's great. I didn't catch where that facility is. Did you catch that?
Kelly, are you still on?
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, it's Sugar River Outfitters, and you can find us online, sugarriveroutfitterswi.com. We operate out of a little burg called Paoli, just outside of Madison, just southwest of Madison.
Hey, right. Paoli is a great place to visit. And is the cheese shop still closed there? I know there was probably the smallest cheese shop in the state was located there. And I think I drove by it not too long ago, and it looked like it was closed. Is that still closed, or are they open again?
The building's there. There's actually a brand-new business moving into there. But now in that little mill complex there, the historic mill, there's probably about five different businesses, including mine, a craft beer tap room, a taqueria. There's all kinds of stuff going on down there. And literally, you blink if you miss. If you drive through town, you'll miss it if you blink.
Kelly, thank you so much for calling in. I will go to Jim now in Wausau. Jim, hi.
Hey, how are you folks?
Good.
Hey,
what do you want to tell us about, Jim?
Well, you know, during this pandemic, my wife and I have just been getting in the car and driving various places by ourselves. I had mentioned two or three spots that we've found. One was down near Amro. Maybe you've talked about it. It's the Terrell Island Loop, Terrell, T-E-R-R-E-L-L. And it's a kind of a causeway out into Lake Butamore, and probably a three-mile walk if you go the whole loop. And you're actually out in the lake. It's a remarkable place. You can get to it by just going east of Amro. Then a couple of other places that we've discovered. One is a wonderful little park called Big Sandy here in Marathon County. It's in the west central part of the county, and it's on the Eau Claire River, a wonderful picnic area. There's a portable or the public toilet there as well, and a parking area, and a wonderful walk along the river. And then the third place, we've met parts of our family who come over from the Twin Cities. It's just east of Eau Claire. It's called the Big Falls County Park. It's an Eau Claire County Park. You walk through the woods, and suddenly you are on the, I think it's also the Eau Claire River, another Eau Claire River, where you've got a waterfall, some huge boulders, and a long, long stretch of crystal white sand beach.
It's fantastic. Jim, I'm going to jump in because we're just about out of time. Gary, Jim has that explorer mindset, I think, that I know you love.
He does. I've got to say, I haven't seen that drive up at Amro either. So that's a great tip. And I thank you for calling in with that.
All right. Gary, when it's not raining so much, what is your next plan for an outing in our last 30 seconds or so?
Well, I haven't had a chance to get up to Bayfield yet this year. And I do want to get up there at some point. I was hoping to spend a week up there. That hasn't turned out, but that would be probably my next big plan, and we're hoping to get up there.
Gary, thanks, as always, for joining us today.
Hey, always a pleasure, and happy trails out there. You guys have a good one, okay?
You too, Gary. That's Gary Knowles, Madison-based travel writer, president of the Midwest Travel Journalists Association. He's the author of the book, The Great Wisconsin Touring Book, 30 Spectacular Auto Tours. We talked with him about how to safely enjoy some of the fun things to see and do around Wisconsin this summer as we hopefully recover from the coronavirus pandemic. Head over to WPR.org/Central Time to see at least some of the things that Gary talked about today. Coming up tomorrow on Central Time, Governor Tony Evers joins the show for a look at the latest state efforts on COVID-19 and his reaction to ongoing protests around Wisconsin. Researchers around the world are racing to develop a safe and effective coronavirus vaccine. An expert on viruses joins the show for a look at the challenges facing those vaccine efforts and what it would take to have something ready, say, in a year. And we'll revisit a great conversation with author Ann Patchett, who shares a lot of great reading suggestions. That and more coming up tomorrow here on Central Time. Weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m., it's The Morning Show with Keeley Boltina in for Kate Archer-Kent. Tomorrow at 6, Keeley and her guests look at the main risk factors for Alzheimer's and other forms of dementia and what we know about prevention and treatment. That's tomorrow at 6 on The Morning Show. Coming up next, it's news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio. Then we'll find out what options are out there for renters who are at the risk of eviction after a moratorium ended late last month. I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network.